Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Time for daily editorial. This is going to be a good one. We're going to talk about some early polling results, and we're going to talk about some, I guess I'm going to use the word suppression of information on COVID. Jimmy's pretty up on this stuff. The other thing I want to say is we are very, very anti-liberal and pro-conservative, and we're going to devote the first half of the show tomorrow up to the first half of the show tomorrow on our rationale behind that. So I'd like you to, all you guys to listen to it. Jimmy, let's talk about the early polling results first today for the results for the purpose of this daily editorial.
Yeah, so something big is happening right now based on the numbers. And you can tell in Florida, in New York, in Pennsylvania. And let me go through some of the actual, at least information that's out there.
Okay.
So Wall Street Journal conducted a poll with white suburban women. And it's not a large poll, but it tracks with what they did in August of this last year, a couple of months ago. So since their August poll, there's been a 27% swing of white suburban women shifting towards Republicans, giving the Republicans a 15% advantage in this particular poll.
Okay.
It basically is saying, hey, abortion, that the Democrats, you know, just has faded. It's not a big issue. That really it's the economy. And that 54% of the people polled think that we're in a recession already. And 74% think that we're headed in the wrong economic direction. And these are white suburban women.
This is strictly white suburban women, right?
Correct. Okay. Which is exactly the group that the Democrats targeted in the 2018 midterms with the Stormy Daniels and all that. And then what they targeted in 2020 with the COVID fear and the lockdowns.
Yeah.
So that's, but again, these numbers show from August. So now they think that 54% think that we're in a recession, 74% think we're heading in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
That's a huge shift, 11-point gain thinking we're in a recession. In August, 43% thought we were in a recession, and 59% thought we were headed in the wrong direction. Again, that's a huge shift with the same little demographic and the same little group.
Yeah.
Now, that's one indicator, but here's another really powerful one.
Yeah.
It looks like in Miami-Dade County in southern Florida, where Republicans, it's a very solidly blue Democratic stronghold.
Yeah.
Republicans are registering new voters, according to the local authorities, the local Republican offices, in a 9-to-1 advantage over Dems.
Wow.
That's huge.
Yeah, it is. It's very huge.
So far in early voting in Miami-Dade, 27% of the GOP voters have turned out. 21% of the Dems have turned out. And now that's a huge switch from what has happened in the last two elections, the 2018 midterm and the 2020 election, where the Dems had a massive advantage in voter turnout in early voting. And independents are voting right now, and it's not as nearly as powerful as GOP voters and Dem voters. So only about 14% of independents have voted early. But you would think that independents that didn't want to identify with parties, probably in Hispanic areas, especially in the Cuban influence areas, will likely go towards the GOP voters. So this is a very bad signal for Democrats in southern Florida. There's other areas in Florida where the Democrats are maintaining their advantage, where they've got a little bit higher number in the turnout, but their turnout is nowhere near as big as it was in the 2020 election, the early voting.
Yeah, that's amazing.
But so here's something. This is even more astounding, and that's New York City and New York State overall. So early voting in New York City from 2020 is down 62%.
That's amazing.
That's a huge difference.
Oh, yeah. That's a very, very big number, Jimmy.
And here's the deal. Back, New York City overall carried 44% of the state's vote overall. And now it's actually just trending at 35%. So that's a big difference. And it's, of course, New York City is heavily Democratic.
Yeah, of
but
course.
In the outlying areas, in the more conservative areas in the state, there's actually only a 36% reduction in that, in those areas, especially in places like Long Island.
A 30 cent reduction in early voting.
Correct.
Amazing. From,
compared to 2020.
Yeah.
So you can make whatever, you can take a look and think about what was going on with early voting in 2020. And that was COVID lockdowns, mail-in ballots, flooding ballots without any, you know, with very limited voter ID checks and all the different things that they had over kind of taken away from local laws in order to allow that massive amount of vote. So you can expect that there would be a decline. And overall in the state, early voting's down about 52%. But Republicans in those areas are actually coming in at much higher numbers. And the early voting for Republicans is actually higher percentage-wise than in many places outside of New York City in the state. Lee Zeldin, I'm sorry, the 36% down is Lee Zeldin's base in Long Island.
Yeah,
that's where he's come
well,
from. So basically,
go ahead.
What this indicates is there's not a lot of excitement of the Democratic base to come out and vote. If this carries forward into next week, and it likely will, then you should see something incredibly big happen overall in these midterms.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Well, I hope it does for all of the reasons. I mean, I'm a conservative for all the reasons you're going to explain tomorrow in the first half of the radio show. And remember, this is only a personal opinion, but opinions turn into reality when there's enough people that have the same opinion. Anyway, Jimmy, you wanted to talk a little bit about COVID and a lack of information.
So there's something that I wanted to highlight to the listeners, and they can go. I'll send you the link so you can go ahead and post it.
Yeah.
But basically, there was a study done that was published by Springer Publishing, and it was in an article called Minerva, or in a journal called Minerva.
Okay.
And it's basically, and here's the title of it: Censorship and Suppression of COVID-19 Heterodoxy. Tactics and Counter Tactics. And this is a very reputable Israeli scientist, as well as some U.S. scientists.
Okay.
Brian Martin, Eddie Alicia, and then a few others. And they publish a very thorough scientific study of censorship over COVID and the lack of information and the silencing of very reputable scientists and even Nobel Prize.
Yeah.
This is an important study because it really kind of outlines some of the policies and the questions. It doesn't really talk about the effectiveness of COVID-19. What it's talking about specifically is government influence, big pharma influence, and big tech influencing, attacking and silencing reputable voices that had a counter narrative to what the government was pushing and what the big pharma and the big corporate tech companies.
And this was published in a magazine in Israel, is that correct?
Actually, no, it's a U.S. magazine. Just one of the chief scientists on that did the research was actually Israeli guy, but there's other U.S. guys as well.
Okay.
So it's not a huge publication, but it was a very bold move for the editors, for Springer, the actual publisher, to actually post this and to put it out there, because it really goes into detail. And I would recommend that many people take a look at this particular study.
Well, if you have either a link or at least the name of the magazine, I'll post it on our editorial page today.
Yeah, the magazine is Minerva,
M-I-N-E-R-V-A. Yeah.
And again, I'll just, this study was published on 1 November this year, and it's called Censorship and Suppression of COVID-19 Heterodoxy, Tactics and Counter Tactics.
Let me write this down. Censorship and oppression?
Suppression.
Okay, when we're done recording, I'll write the whole thing down. But the
And I'll forward it to you so we can actually put it a link, or I'll actually post the link to it in today's
editorial
once you get it posted.
Yeah. We've got some pretty good information so far today, Jimmy. I don't think anybody could say that we're not just having the best interest of our listeners at heart.
Well, you know, this is so important. As we are getting more information from this lawsuit from the Missouri Attorney General on the federal government's silencing of different opinions and using their influence, using government to censor information over COVID. And we just this last week, a judge has forced Anthony Fauci and other members of the administration to actually be deposed in this overall case. We're going to have, I believe, the floodgates of information are beginning to open, identifying the lies and the use of government officials and influence in order to achieve not only political ends, but to silence opposition voices and censorship 100% against the Constitution of the United States.
Yeah. Well, that's going to be pretty interesting when that comes out. And I'm looking forward to really highlighting that on this program.
Well, we definitely will see. So my prediction is we're going to see a number of investigations that are opened up if Republicans take the House. We've talked about this before.
Yeah.
It looks like the numbers are changing dramatically, both what we mentioned in this polling, but around the country in Senate polls. There could be, if in fact what I believe is happening, is that a number of Americans have been silenced, so they keep their mouth shut. They haven't been politically involved before, but they're feeling the impact of the economy. They're feeling the impact of crime. They're looking at the overall attempts to quiet voices through governments. And of course, we didn't talk about it yet, and maybe we should spend a minute or two, but Joe Biden's speech last night.
I didn't hear it.
Oh my gosh, he once again attacked, quote, MAGA Republicans.
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's what they have to do right now, Jim.
And they're not at all talking about their policies. They're not at all saying, hey, we're doing the right thing.
Right.
All they're doing is saying someone is attempting to undermine democracy because they question how Joe Biden got 81 million votes.
Yeah.
When he is absolutely mentally incapable of being leader of the United States.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. I didn't listen to his speech, but I will look at it today on YouTube.
Yeah, it was hard to watch in many cases. Just from a perspective of how a guy that ran on a campaign that he was going to unify the country, that he was going to be positive and get away from the ugly politics, uses this Nancy Pelosi story, uses the January 6th issue in order to divide America. He's not pulling people in. And I really do think there's a groundswell of frustration that will be reflected in the polling.
Well, we'll definitely find out. I don't want it to be reflected in the poll. I want it to be reflected in the election.
Yes, in the polling, I'm sorry, the election, not the pool, in the polling. You know, it's hard to say. You want people that are going to be doing the right thing for individuals.
Right.
And transparent, open decisions where government is working for the people, not to control the people.
Right.
And that's the big problem I'm seeing today in America. And it happens on both sides of the aisle.
You better know.
They think they know better than everyone else. So rather than looking in the best interest of overall Americans, they are looking in the best interests of their power.
Yeah.
And when they look at that, they actually neglect very important constituency, and that's the people that vote for them.
Yeah, that's true. Now, when you say, I don't understand one thing, Jim. When you say they neglect a very important constituency, elaborate on that. Clarify what you mean by that, would you?
So I'm talking about the general population.
Yeah.
And here's a good example. You know, the Democrats have always said they're for the little guy, for the working man and woman. But it looks very clearly to the working man and woman, especially small businesses, that they were working in the best interest of big pharma and, you know, corporate global corporations like Amazon. So remember back in the 99% protests, you know, where people are out in Seattle and D.C. and Wall Street protesting and saying, hey, we're the 99%ers.
Yeah.
Guess what? Democrats and Republicans, some Republicans, have completely ignored that segment of the population that is frustrated with the corruption, with the amount of influence that big tech companies have, the amount of influence that companies like Walmart and Amazon have over government decisions, and they're just tired of losing their jobs to overseas manufacturing.
Yeah.
They're tired of losing their jobs because of just policies that shut down energy in the United States.
Right.
They're tired of losing their lives because or families because of bad decisions from the government. And the more transparent it becomes, the more obvious it is to the average constituent that something is very wrong in Washington.
Now, Jimmy, let me ask you a question. We're going to be talking about that on half of the radio show tomorrow. But I have a question for you. My question is, you talk about people losing their families and losing lives. What do you mean by that?
Well, losing their families because of this division that has been created
by the
country. Yeah, and then losing their lives because of remdesivir, because of putting people on ventilators, because of putting elderly into healthcare facilities with COVID.
Yeah.
You know, of force injections on people that don't need them. There's a lot of things that are happening. Oh, and the border and the violence and the crime that we're seeing just exploding around these major urban areas.
Well, it's not good, that's for sure.
And yeah, it's, again, when you neglect, these are just basic functions of government.
Yeah.
And if you can't solve those problems and you're yelling and screaming about something that you created.
Yeah.
And when I say that, I mean January 6th and this entire fraud and facade of undermining, you know, the government or trying to do an insurrection to take over the government. Yeah, they were pissed. People were angry because of what happened over the summer of 2020. They were angry because they did not get transparency or answers from the media or the government on what happened on the November 3rd election when people shut down observers, when massive amounts of ballots were pumped in at the last minute to change the outcome of elections. You know, how do you go from 14% up in Pennsylvania at 11 or 12 o'clock at night and then go to a loss by a few, you know, by less than 100,000 votes?
Yeah, I don't
makes
know.
Makes no sense. Well, and people wanted answers.
No, it makes no sense whatsoever. Jimmy,
no one was willing to do it. No one was willing to stand up and
attack. People are standing up right now and they're saying that if you question election results, you don't believe in democracy. I find that to be, I interpret that statement as being absolutely ridiculous. Jimmy, we're up to about 19 minutes. I want to cut it here. I got a doctor's appointment coming up around 10 o'clock. Thanks so much. I'm looking forward to recording tomorrow.
Sounds good, Al. You take care. Good luck at the doc.
Find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.